Okay, I am Elizabeth Clark, and I am interviewing Gisela Gehring. She lives at 4116 Greenmont Southeast, Warren, Ohio, zip code 44484, and her telephone number 856-7208. This is in the evening, and it is December 17th, I think, 1986. Okay, that's all they need from me.
And Gehring, but that doesn't
Gehring.
Yeah,
okay. Where were you born here?
I was born in Berlin.
When?
Oh, the 23rd of August, 1923. You know, Viva Versailles.
Sure. And you were born in the city part, or what part of Berlin were
the
you?
The outskirts of Berlin.
And what did your parents do?
My father managed the Pullman trains, the eating and sleeping car, where they got repaired. He was the manager of that.
And he did you go on the train much with him?
Yeah, no, not with him. He didn't never go. I mean, he took care of the plant.
Well, what was life like? Do you remember your parents telling you about what was life like during the 20s when you were born?
Well, actually, I don't remember. I mean, I know we had some inflation and my grandmother was quite well off, so we never had the problem other people have. So I never heard anything about them.
What was your home like?
You had a nice home.
What were some of the holidays like? Did you have like
Christmas? Oh, they were beautiful.
What do you remember about them?
Well, they have the 6th of December, St. Nicholas Day. So then you guys shut it off. No, shut it off. I would. See, that's my problem. I hope I don't.
Oh, no, you'll be fine. Don't.
Oh, yes. You don't know me. Oh, I'm especially that time of year. I get
the blues. Sure. Okay, what was school like? Did you go to the local school there?
Yeah, we was a. Well, regular school, and I went there to fourth grade, and I decided to go to Lyceum.
Lyceum.
Yeah, right. And, first I wanted to become a German home economic, and we had a friend who was interested in photography, so I took up photography.
And then, did you go to 8th grade and what after 8th grade?
No, you go to 12.
To go to 12?
Yeah. And your parents, you have to pay for it like you do here in college.
Like a tuition?
Right, yes.
And then you went to your 18. Did you graduate and go on to the gymnasium? Is that what the gymnasium?
The gymnasium is the boys.
Oh,
the girls
I see.
Is the lyceum. Yeah, and the boys is gymnasium.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I didn't know that.
You didn't?
No. And so your profession was photography then?
Yeah.
And what type of pictures did you take? What were you into?
Well, I took, at that time then, the war started, And, I was lucky to, at that time, to get a job with Heinrich Schuppmann.
Okay, I want you to hold off on Heinrich, okay?
Yeah.
And go back to your growing up years in school. Did you belong to the Hitler Youth?
Oh, definitely.
What did you do?
Oh,
tell me about
it. In fact, I lied about my age. When Hitler came on regime, I was not quite 10 years old, and you could join when you were the young male. They were the one from 10 to 14. And, we met every week, and we sing, and we learn about German history. And we went on weekends camping, and I really enjoyed it.
And nature walks?
Nature walks, yeah. We learned certain things like cooking and,
Did you get involved at all in the Olympics, the type of sports? What did you do?
Well, I was in the gymnastics, and I belong on my school team. And, I was, in fact, I have a book here where all my trophies are in. And the best girls from school were picked to do the gymnastic at the time of the Olympic. And there were about all over Germany, about 3,000-4,000 girls there.
Which particular?
This was just gymnastics.
Just the bars and the...
No, just gymnastics, not the bars. The bars and things like that we did in school, and certain programs we had for the parents, that's when we did that. But then we had, Hitler had a program, you want to shut it on, I'll show it to you. And she took my picture out and I had my...
We're really involved
in sport, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, you're still active in sports now, aren't you?
Oh,
you're
a
golfer and
I
a bowler.
Yes.
And I bet you're very good at it, too.
Yeah, I just won this year's, we have a membership at Jenny One, and I won the membership championship.
Wonderful.
In golf.
Wonderful.
At my age, I
think that's
lucky.
Wonderful. No, but it's just because you've trained well your entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sure.
So.
Sure. Well, if you belong, did you wear uniforms?
Oh, definitely.
What were they like?
Well, we had a blue skirt, a white blouse, and a black tie, and then we had our emblem, is that what it is?
Mm-hmm.
On your sleeve, and then a brown, it was not corduroy, a vest, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and loose knee stockings and brown shoes.
Uh-huh. Oh, that comes. Now, how much training did you do? How often did you train and practice and work at this?
In what? Like
every week, your gymnastics.
Oh, we had in school,
mm-hmm.
I think there were always about 4 or 6 hours involved.
Mm-hmm.
And they really are going, it's that time, they really went in for sports.
Mm-hmm. Bodybuilding. That's wonderful. I think we should do more of that.
Yeah.
We do. We just don't get enough exercise. Okay, as you go along in school, did you have a change of teachers when Hitler came into real
no,
into power?
No.
Did you keep the same, or what was it like?
Well, I heard that many teachers, I only heard.
That's
a rule. At the school I went to, there was not much of a change. But in different schools, they said, you know, they didn't join the party. And they had to leave. And then I imagine there were quite a few Jewish teachers too, I heard.
Mm-hmm.
But at the school I went to, no.
Mm-hmm. Was this a public school or a parochial school that you attended?
No, public school.
Mm-hmm.
The Catholic school, they go all by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, automatically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So that was just the regular school of Germany?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
What were some of the subjects that you learned at this time when you were older, say this 12, 13, 14 years old?
Well, history, arithmetic, religion.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn religion. You learn it in school.
Mm-hmm.
And gymnastics. Reading, writing,
just the same.
It's just the same. Although they make quite an effort over there. You have to learn how to write good. The
penmanship.
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Well, I think just conquering that beautiful writing, that German, is almost like
this is how the way I learned to write. This is the regular German handwriting here.
Uh-huh.
Is more
very
straight.
Neat.
And,
very neat.
And
very, very nice. Then you say you took up photography. How long did you spend learning photography?
4 years.
Just the same as going to college.
Right, yes. And
did
you pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually afterwards, you go into an apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
For, with me going to the Lyceum, I didn't have to go much to the apprenticeship. Over there, when you go to school, 8 years, and you want to learn something, then you go into the apprenticeship.
Mm-hmm.
And, You have to work for somebody and you get hardly any money.
And then when you finish your 4 years or so, then you take exams after that?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really much so.
And in photography, did you do the developing?
I did the developing, the retouching and enlarging and all, you know. Mm-hmm.
Well, then, when were you surprised when the war started, when Hitler started moving?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, we know, I was quite young then, but, you know, when Hitler came on regime, well, first we went through a terrible time. I remember when they all got, like, Berlin was burning, you know, they told burning mattresses out. Well, a certain sector in Berlin, I think there were lots of communists living there. Well, then all of a sudden when Hitler came on regime, sure, they were marching and, you know, but people start getting work. Mm-hmm. Poor people got lots of help. And he took the young, 18 boys, 18, into Arbeitsdienst, and they built the roads. The routes. In fact, I myself was in Arbeitsdienst for a year. Where you live in camp and you wear a different uniform, not my Hitler Youth uniform, and you go out every day to a farmer they assign you to. Now then you can help them at their home or out in the fields, and depends what kind of work you have. Then you come back at night and you get your dinner there and we sing and, you know,
good time.
Yeah, except the end was not very good.
No, but you look back on it, you probably
had a good time. Yeah, it'll be a good time.
Uh-huh. And as Hitler now is getting into power, I mean, can you see it moving towards war?
No, I think I was too young to realize. You know, you heard rumors, and while we were proud of our army, and but then all of a sudden you start hearing like, what was it? I think our warships of Bismarck was sunk. And
what did you think when that was going on?
I don't know. It was unbelievable. And then we start marching into Czechoslovakia. But we were told this land belonged before to us, and he just wanted back. Then there were German people living there. And it's the same when the war started in Africa. He said that was ours in World War One, before World War One, and he wanted it back. Then, you know, we were about, Germany is the size of Texas, and I think we were 84 million people. We needed room. And when you're young, you believe things like that. Mm-hmm. But it's like my grandma, she always said, he is living he's going the life of the devil. My grandma thought, you know, now I didn't.
Mm-hmm. The grandma told you what was happening.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
What did she think about it? What else did she say about it?
Well, actually, when anybody would heard her talking, they could have put her away. That is how much she hated Hitler.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And how about your parents?
Well, my dad, my mom never made any comment on it. They were that type of people. But with my dad being manager, and he had to join the party, which he didn't, but he wouldn't have joined, he would have lost his job. So he was a paying member, but later on he had to get in another seat too, and they couldn't prove anything, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, as the war progressed, did you have hardships? What happened in Berlin?
Terrible. We lost our home in one of the first attacks, and we were moved to different, wherever they took families out Berlin with children, and then when the apartment was empty there, then you moved in there. In the meantime, we lost everything, and actually we had just the belonging, what you could carry on your back, and then that was bombed again, and it was home.
As it progressed, did you think much when they moved into Poland? Or did you figure
well,
that was...
Moved into Poland. I had an aunt, and her husband, well, he was a forester there, was like a ranger. And they had to leave Poland. So again, we were told, you know, Poland belonged to us, and we wanted back. Well, then the war, you know, progressed. They got into Russia, and then when Stalin didn't fall, then we knew, you know, the war was over, very, very bad for us.
Mm-hmm. Stalin was something else, too. Did you have any brothers or sisters?
Yeah, I have a brother and a sister.
Did either one of them, did your brother have to go into the army?
Yes. Now, he was in a gymnasium, and at that time, when it came to the end of the war, they took even boys when we were not 18 yet into the war.
Mm-hmm. And where did he serve?
Well, they took him to France, and Mom never heard from him till the end of the war. And then she found out to the Red Cross. He was alive, but all his toes were frozen.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Oh, he lost him. Well, did the German government take care of him? Because I heard that many of them did very, very well and took care of the veterans very well.
Like, we lost everything, but my parents were the type, just like my sister. Her husband was a doctor, and he lost his practice and everything in France. And then he went to Bad Nenndorf, and in the meantime, they shipped her with having one child and being pregnant to a safe place near Bremerhaven. And in fact, my husband and I went to visit her there. And she lost, to get milk and bread. The farmer didn't want her money, he wanted yogurt. And I remember when she wrote, my mom wrote, I forgot, they walked the railroad tracks to find, you know, pieces of coal and things to heat.
It was so bad. Well, that's what it was here during the Depression, you know, when people were trying to get coal. But they didn't have that, the war and the losses.
And so then when finally her husband made the arrangements, he got her to Bad Nenndorf. And, you know, so many people, they lost maybe not quite what she or we lost, but they took advantage of. She said, look here, Gisela, when I went to visit. Then people had a little or nothing. They have a big home, and she lived just in a condo, you know, an apartment, not condo. Mm-hmm. And Mom was the same way.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't, we lost our home. Well, it was in Mariendorf, which is now the Russian, so she didn't get her.
Mm-hmm. No. Do you have, would your family be now either East or West Berlin?
Well, I have no more.
But would your home have been which side?
We were in East.
East, uh-huh.
But then after losing our home, we ended up in the West.
Mm-hmm.
So Mom lived before she died in the West.
West, uh-huh. Yeah. As the war progressed, when you realized that, where were you when you finally realized, and when the German troops were, with, you know, coming back, and where were you at the time?
I was on my way from Berlin to Munich. Like I said, I worked for Heinrich Hoffmann, and they had a shelter built in. He had a photo atelier in Munich. And the outskirts of Munich, and they had bunkers built. In fact, many movies and pictures you see is what, you know, the two photographers took. And they thought we could work there safe. So just 2 weeks before the war was over, they had a train, all with cameras and all the pictures and everything on. And on the way going to Munich, well, we noticed that our soldiers came from the front, just wild, running around, and the Americans were marching in.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about this Heinrich Hoffmann, this photographer. How did you happen to go to work from him, and what did you do?
Actually, after I was finished with school, I got to the unemployment office. I went to apply for a job, and the one girl, it's funny, I was with her and Albert Steen's together, and she said, Gisela, would you like to work for Heinrich Hoffmann? And I said, you must be kidding. She said, no. She said, you have, you know, the qualifications, and that's how I got the job.
And what were some of the experiences?
I don't know if I should tell them.
It's okay.
Really?
No.
Well, actually, I had no, I mean, we had one dark room, and there were, they developed films and printed them, and, well, I actually was not permitted to go in there, but I went in anyway. I had to go in, and some of the pictures I saw, I mean, you know, there in Berlin, we had no food or anything, and there were the big shots, you know, just living it up high. And I remember Fritz Scholz and Franz Geig, I never forget the name. They were the two photographers, they belonged to the SS. And one always was with Hitler, and he was developing films and things like that. The other one was there. And when they came in, well, they spent most of the day up in the lab, and you know, the package they bought with sandwich meat and all this, you know, and we like my mom, she got maybe, I think, a quarter of a pound and made a sandwich meat or a regular meat for a person, and she had to stand in line for it.
Did you eat well, though? Did they see that you were fed, since you were the photographer working?
No, had nothing to do with it, no. Then I went home, you know, I went home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, can you tell me some of the different pictures that you did take or help in the development of?
Well, then when the war started, in fact, I have some still here, I took pictures of models' home where they would put family when we were bombed in emergency. I went once to the Reichskanzlei and took pictures of Hitler's birthday table. And, just street scene, you know, activity of people. And there are many times I had to go to a certain house and take pictures maybe of they were in the party and they had a birthday party or something.
Now, were these pictures just for the people, or were they published in a newspaper or for a book or a magazine?
Well, some of them were for the newspaper. Some were private, mostly private. Then we had regular two reporters, civilian, and they took, you know, other pictures. But the Reichskanzlei only done two photographers took good pictures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, then, as you progressed in your profession as a photographer, did you get to take other famous people?
No. Well, at that time, the war was pretty bad. And, yeah.
Did you take any actual fight scenes or battle
scenes?
None.
I went in when the first house was bombed. I took pictures of this. And, you know, when they had the tremors there, like certain churches and things like this.
Uh-huh. When you were saying that you were on a train to Munich, what were you going to do in Munich?
Well, I decided not to go on the train. And lucky I didn't. It was attacked by aeroplane by Comedy.
Strafing?
No.
Mommy?
Yeah, it got attacked by machine
gun. Machine gun, so strafing.
I went like in a mobile home where we had a lab in, and it was a bad trip. It was horrifying. We went to go to Munich, we went. How did we go to Prague? Anyway, we were on a highway, and there you could see all the diplomats, big Mercedes-Benzes, passing us on the way to Switzerland. And there was a railroad, and they had machine guns on the railroad, and we could see that they waved us, you know, to stop the car and just hide. But then there came the planes, and I ran on top of a hill and just hold my hand over my head, and I, you know, don't shoot me in my head. And then we had a very bad attack in the park. We were lucky we got out of it. So then on the way to Munich, we were in a farmhouse, we stood overnight, and
when you got to, as you proceeded on, did you get to Munich when they
were
straight?
We didn't get to Munich. We had cameras and enlarger and all this, and we found a place where we buried it. And I stood in a farmhouse. I had an aunt near in Garmisch-Partenkirchen. Well, not an aunt. She was a friend of my mom. And I couldn't go back to Berlin. So I went to her place, yes.
Mm-hmm. And how long did you stay with her?
Well, I stood there for about, that's where I met my husband. He was a first lieutenant in the army. And he found, one day he came, I worked there in a little photo shop. I went out and took pictures of farmers and things like that. And he had a camera. And he spoke a broken German. And he asked me if I would explain it to him. He said he didn't take it. He said, you know, that it was for the German soldiers had to give all their camera and guns in. So I explained it to him. And he asked me if he walked me home. I said no, but he must follow me. And the next day he stood right at my aunt's house, and he had oranges, and he asked me if I wanted one. I said no, my tongue was hanging out that far. But my aunt, she lived in the United States from 23 to 33. Her husband was secretary for Anheuser-Busch, but then his mom got quite ill, and so then they came back to Germany, and she spoke real good English.
So she talked to you? So you met your husband that way?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How soon were you married?
Oh, let's see. We met in 45. We were married in 46.
Uh-huh. Was he in Germany in the occupation, or?
Yeah, he...
Did he stay right there?
Well, he was... he ran the motor pool. And then he thought he would go, had to go home, but then he found out he could become a civilian in the U.S. And so he stood out of here, then we came over here in 47.
Mm-hmm. What was your reaction coming to the United States after?
Well, when I first came over, we were in Philadelphia, and people were just fabulous. My husband, one sister lived there, and we stood there for a week visiting, and then we went to Allentown, and he has three more sisters there, and I felt at home, very much so, and they introduced me to lots of Pennsylvania Dutch people. So then my husband said, well, he said, we cannot stay here. My job is waiting in Warren. So he said he's going to go ahead and see if he can buy a house. Well, then he came back and he said, no, you have to come along. And so then we packed up and came to Warren. And we found a home. But it was not people. There were some people like John Chalk and Mona, very, very nice. And then I had other neighbors, they told stories about me. They didn't even know me. In fact, one neighbor, they saw my husband leaving, and she came in with a friend of hers, which I found out later on, and asked if I had rooms for rent. Then another neighbor, the following year, she came and asked me if I stole all her sherries. Yeah, I mean.
Like, some people can be very cruel.
Very.
A lot. And you missed home terribly. That's a difficult. I think Warren has a reputation of being very unfriendly.
Very much so. It is like a clique.
It certainly is.
Exactly. That's when you're in, you're right, and when you're not, you're a lost person.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, with me being from Germany, and you know Wanda Zandt, you remember her?
Who?
Wanda Zandt. She was a, you know, Jackie, no, not Jackie Quaid. You know Ruth Redderson?
No.
Jean Burrell knows Wanda. And Wanda is from Pittsburgh, and she belonged to the first person.
Now, you were in, I believe you were telling that you were in, going to Munich. You were talking about the train and how you got out of this van that had all this equipment in it for photography. And
yeah,
you
well,
protected
then
yourself.
We finally got outside Munich, and then, like I said before, I think that American soldiers came. You know, we buried all of the cameras and everything. And the closest I could go back to Berlin when the Russians were there, and I heard a horrible story, what he did to the girls. And so I had an aunt in Garmisch-Partenkirchen. Well, she went with my mom to school, and I called her aunt, and I went to her place. And then to keep busy, I found a job in a small photography shop. I took pictures of farmers, and that's where I met my husband.
Yeah. So that's what, and then you married and came to the United States. What was it like in around Munich when you, how far did you get? Where did you get into Munich?
No, we were on the outskirts of Munich.
Mm-hmm.
What
was the farm like? Did you have problems with food? And what was
not at the farms, no. In fact, you know, them people like the northern part of Germany and the western part, people lost everything, and down at the southern part, they didn't, except, in fact, many times I thought they're very selfish. Then they didn't lose nothing. They had plenty of food, but they had to take in the people who were flying from the Russian,
mm-hmm.
and they resented that.
And they did.
Yeah.
when you realized that the war was over and the Americans were coming in, what was your feeling? Were you glad it was over, or how did
yes,
you feel?
Yes, it was like a, you know, before you felt like you couldn't breathe, and all of a sudden you feel like you could breathe. We didn't know what the future would bring us, but it just unbelievable.
It was better than what you had been through?
Well, we knew what Hitler was doing, you know, was wrong and wrong, but we never could give our opinion. The minute you would say something, they all of a sudden you would disappear. It's just like when they bombed Berlin, they had an American radio station, and they forecast where they're gonna bomb. But they found out you were listening to it, they would you just disappear. Concentration camp.
Did you know anybody? Now I know the Jews were put in concentration camps,
so
but I'm not interested. I'm not interested
no,
in their
I'm
part.
Bad.
I'm interested in the people who were Germans, what they
yes.
went through,
yeah.
say the Lutherans and the Catholics and those who were not in any religious sect. I'm not concerned with the Jews in my program at all, because it's been well taken care of and overdone
mm-hmm.
as far as I'm concerned. But what I want to know about the other people, did you know any other people who opposed, and what happened to them?
They disappeared.
Did you ever find out what happened
no,
to them?
No, never, never.
How about the in your towns that you were in, did you fear the SS?
No. I had a cousin, he was in the SS. In fact, I had two cousins. One was an elite, and the other one just regular SS. And they were the two nicest young men you ever could meet.
Mm-hmm.
They
were probably fair about what they did, too. What happened to them at the end of the war? What happened to them after the war was over? Were they
never heard from them. Never heard from them. No. In fact, my aunt, she lost three sons, one in the SS, one in the Air Force, and the other one, I think, was in the Army, and they were all in Russia, and she never heard from them again. And when she found out I married Carl, she never would speak to my mom again.
Is that right? Because she was so angry about you
yeah.
marrying an American.
Yeah.
How did the rest of your family feel about it?
My mom and Dad were very happy. My mom met Carl, and she felt like I couldn't be in better hands.
Mm-hmm. Has she been, did she ever come to the United States?
No. She traveled all over Europe and all, no. And then in 72, my sister came to visit. And Mom was in her high 70s. And then we corresponded. She said, I wish I had come with my, she would have come with my sister.
She should have.
Yeah.
Do you still hear from your sister? Is she?
No, they're all dead.
Oh, they are. So your family's right here, your children in there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do you think that they will ever reunite Western and Eastern Germany? Or do you think it's too far separated?
That is too far separated. The ideas are so different. The way the Russian, you know, what I read, even the teachers in the school, you know, it's just like two different countries.
Mm-hmm. You realize that the Americans were coming. I've heard so many stories, and some of them have been so funny about the fact that Americans were coming and they wished they'd hurry up and get there or something like that.
That is true, yes, yes.
You wish they'd
hurry. Then we were kept in such suspense. You know we couldn't come out that war winning or anything. And they bombed more and more, you know, many times. You said, where's God? Why don't he quit it? What it done to the people? How they suffered, how they lost their family. And you know, you forget you lost your home. It is your family you're most concerned. And they really got split apart.
Every place. Did you, were any of your families taken into concentration camps?
No, no, no.
How about displaced persons? Did you have any?
No.
You were lucky. You were lucky.
In fact, I didn't hear until after the war. See?
Mm-hmm. All right. How about when the Nuremberg trials came about, when they were taking the war criminals? Do you remember any of that while you were there, or was that after you came back?
I was here.
You were here.
Yes.
Do you believe that a lot of the Nazis really escaped into South America?
Oh, definitely. They start sending their money to Switzerland and South America and them places, definitely, yes.
How, do you have any idea how soon they started doing that? When they knew the war was over, how many months or years, when did they start that slowly
they
evacuation?
They knew, you know, like when Stalin was, we couldn't take Stalin, even before that, I heard rumors. You know, that they start oil paintings and the money and the gold that they took that already all of them.
Mm-hmm. And you felt that it went into South America someplace?
Well, Portugal, South America,
exactly.
Yeah.
Do you think any went into Spain?
That I do not know. Actually, I do not know.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard that from them.
Can you think of anything else that would be of interest, historically of interest, at this time?
Well, you ask me and I answer you, but my memory list.
Yes. No, you're just doing great. It's real. What were the holidays like? What did you try to do during the wartime? You know, when things are pretty rough.
We tried our best. Like, my mom couldn't get no more flowers, you know, to bake. And she made, far she could, you know, from potatoes, she made the cake. And yes, I have to tell you something. You know, I told you before, we only got a quarter of a pound of sandwich meat or the regular meat. So one day, she had a roaster full of stew. And she just piled it on our plates, and we ate it, and we were amazed. And, you know, so much meat. And after we were finished eating, she said, how did you like it? And she got horse meat through the black market. Then she had, it looked like real rough salami. And she said, how you like that? And I didn't, it was kind of sweet. And that was horse meat too. Yeah. Then I had two long-haired dachshunds, and they disappeared. And we looked all over for them, and we had, that was right after the war started. We couldn't find them. Mom went to the dog catcher, and he said, oh, somebody making a meal out.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It was so bad. Oh, that's sad. To think that the people, you know, something like that is forced into a situation like that.
You should read the book. In fact, my husband stopped reading it, by Albert Speer, The Third Reich, and he tells it all. He wrote it exactly the way it was.
The Third Reich.
The Third Reich.
I think my husband has read that. I think he may have read it all, but I have not read it.
Yeah, you should read it.
It's exactly the way it is.
Exactly. It's, yeah. You know, I don't pray for anything. And there's one thing, you know, I always have, please don't have that type of war. And for years and years, the sirens frightened me over here. And I dreamed, you know, like the bombers were coming and I couldn't find my children or both. I didn't have any then, but now, you know, like the war is now, and it took me a long, long time.
When they had the air raids, what did you do? When the sirens, did you go?
Well, we went down, we had a home, and we had a basement, but our basement was pretty much about gone. We went in there, and we had a neighbor, a doctor, and he put a shelter in his house below. So close to us was a Mercedes-Benz work, you know, and during the war they make mines. So one day when the alert rang again, the siren went, and they throw first fire bombs, flares, and then they know that's where you get bombed. And luckily we didn't go to his house, we went to a regular shelter, and everything in his house was then our house, but like I said before, was one of the first ones. We couldn't save it. The whole district just
section. Were you near any industrial plants or anything?
No.
Do you think it was a freak bomb thing, or do you think it was a purpose?
Well, they tried to get some Mercedes-Benz factory.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
They're after
that. Yeah.
I see Mercedes-Benz. Were you aware in the late 30s that Hitler had been really trying to build a war machine? I mean, like planes and tanks and what, were you aware of it?
Oh yeah, he was just like they do in Russia. He believed in lots of marching and parading and showing, you know, his tanks, and that Germany was strong to defend themselves whatever anybody asked us to go in with them into a war. But we didn't realize that he's going to start one.
When he started this war, how did you think the United States would stay out of it, or what did you think would happen there?
Well, you know, I still, I don't know. The only thing I thought, when we would defeat England, the United States would enter the war.
With England?
No, with Germany.
With their, uh-huh.
Yeah, not with England. And they were, you know, the Allies.
Uh-huh. Well, I've talked to one person who said that they felt that really the reason he was attacking Russia is because the communists were trying to get into Germany. Have you heard that before?
No, that is new to me.
No, I haven't. Yeah, mentioned something about that. There was a communist. See, at the time in the 20s, there was a communist movement in this country, and I wondered if there was one in Germany at the same time.
Yeah, it was, too, in the early 30s.
The late 20s and 30s,
yes,
the big communist push.
Yes, right, yeah.
And I wondered, well, maybe that's... Well, when Hitler started this bit with the Jews, how did you feel about it, or what do you remember this...
remember, like now, my sister, she was engaged to a Jewish... and she broke her engagement, and he went to South, did he go to Africa or where? The only thing I know that you saw, the you know, you saw people going with a young star, and then there, what do you call their churches?
Synagogue.
They would put, they set fires to them, and their doors, the windows were broken, and then you heard they took the Jews to the concentration camp.
Were you given any explanation for why this was being done?
No, I cannot.
Uh-huh. It was just happening to them.
It was just happening to them. Hitler wanted all Aryans in Germany, and then he could have sent them to Israel, and we could go with that.
Well, I have read that there were 6 million Jews, but there were 6 million others that were executed. I'm concerned with the 6 million others. Can you tell me anything about the concentration camps?
Yes, I cannot. We know there were concentration camps. I heard rumors, and you couldn't talk about it, or you would end up concentration camp too. Till I saw the young line, did I realize what went on in the concentration camp. And that is the first time I was ashamed to be a German.
But it wasn't the German people's fault.
No, actually it was not. But then they always talk about Nazi Germany. Not everybody was a Nazi. Mm-hmm. Not everybody. And many times they tried to, you know, assassinate Hitler. And look what ended up there. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's another thing I want to tell you about. I have always liked Rommel.
Oh, I love him.
I think
I love
with
him.
Patton,
yes.
Knowing Patton, General
yeah.
Patton, and how he respected Rommel, and in the North African campaign, which I've always been fascinated with that particular thing, because I think it's like two geniuses together, and they respected each other. What was he like? Can you tell me something about Rommel?
Well, actually, I don't know too much about him, but we adored him.
Okay, Rommel was just regular German army, wasn't he?
He was just regular German army, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, he was supposed to be such a genius in tank
warfare. He was, yes.
Well, tell me some more about him.
Well, we just admired him. And then it came so that he had to commit suicide.
Why do you think he did?
Things in Africa didn't go the way Hitler wanted it. Mm-hmm. And then I think Hitler found out that he went against
him. Do you think he realized that the war was lost?
Yes, yeah, and he tried to tell Hitler about it, and then he was on the blacklist of Hitler, and he had to go.
Well, did you, back on this, just a moment on this Jewish thing, did you think that Goering was a Jew? Did he?
No, I don't think Goering was a Jew, but Goebbels was a
Goebbels.
Jew. Yeah. And they're only rumors too. In fact, we heard, and he decided, there were many movie stars, and they didn't get any more starring role than they were used, and he decided who is a Jew and who is not a Jew.
Oh, he made those decisions?
Yeah, he made them.
Mm-hmm. Rudolf Hess. Do you remember he was captured
yes,
by
I
English?
Remember.
What happened there? Do you remember?
Well,
do you remember?
Well, I remember, and you know it's a long time ago, 40, close to 50 years. Well, the only thing I remember is that he flew to England, and he wanted to prevent a war. That's the way I understand.
Do you think he was there to negotiate?
Right, yes.
And trying to get it stopped?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you think that he was sent by Hitler, or did he go on his own?
Well, the way we understood, he went on his own will, mm-hmm. our own free will, mm-hmm. yes. Mm-hmm.
How about the Air Force? What do you remember about the German Air Force? That's quite a...
I thought they were fabulous. Yeah, I remember the first, his name was, no, what was it? Miller, something. and he was one of the top aces, and he got killed in air, and that's why we were told. Later on, we heard different stories. And my mom, my grandma and I, we, the cemetery where he was buried, was close by where my grandma lived, and we went to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was very sad.
To lose him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you think of anything else now that we could talk about during that time? Did you ever get to church? How did the churches keep going during this time?
Well, there was no politics involved. I am a Lutheran, and we went to church like always.
Mm-hmm. So it was, Hitler did not get involved in that at all?
Not to my knowledge. Now, my sister's husband, in fact, he didn't want, when they had their first child, he didn't want it, the little girl to be christening. And it upset my mom quite a bit. So later on, my sister had my niece christening.
Now, what was her husband? Did you say your sister's husband? What did he do?
He was a doctor.
And did he?
He was quite active in the Nazi party. He went to join the party before Hitler came on regime, and he wore a pin with a gold round. But then, when Hitler was on regime for about 3 years or so, my brother-in-law realized what Hitler was doing, and he didn't approve of it at all.
Did he have to go in the army as a doctor?
No.
He was not. He stayed and took care of civilians.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He had, in fact, he died of it too, quite young. I think when he was over there, he went to the University of in Heidelberg, and them students, they were quite drinking and rough, I think, you know, with swords and things. And he got wounded there. And the way my sister told me later on, that he lost his practice in Berlin. It was coming. One day he went back and he had to sneak back. Then the people remember that he was a party member, but they forgot that he didn't believe anymore what Hitler was doing. So he had to sneak in, and his practice was there, but the Russians used to make the hall a mess. They did their business in the bathroom, and the lab was a mess. So
he just left. What town was he in when he, outside of Berlin? Was he just in Berlin or?
Well, he was just in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you remember any stories about the Russians and coming into Berlin, or how the division was made there?
No, I have. The only thing I read about it and I heard about it was the first Russian that came to Berlin, that was their elite, and they treated the German people very nicely, but then they told them that they had to leave. I forgot which book it was, it was a true story. And they said, so after soldiers come in, they're Mongols, and to beware of them, they raped and they do just everything. And I know I met women in the hospital, and I did volunteer work there. They were not raped once, 20 times and more. They walked unconscious. He lost their mind, and my girlfriend, my mother, wrote me in Berlin. One soldier, you know, called all the neighbors together, and Eva was her name. He wanted, you know, that she expose herself, and I think he wanted to rape her, and she refused, and he shot her, I think, 20 times into her chest.
I heard about the Mongols coming in,
yeah.
And I think, I do not think we realized that the Mongols were in. I heard that before, and I just couldn't believe it, and I thought, that reaffirms that other tape I had from a year ago that the Mongols came in, and that was the lady she told me about. And I didn't know that the Russians
came
in. Well,
I have, I don't know if you know Adela Smith. She lives in Holland. I don't know if she is German. She said she is, but, I was, she told me, she comes from, and she told me the Russian came and they raped everybody. In fact, she got raped, her mother got raped, and her grandmother got raped. The reason she told me the story, our minister here in the St. Peter's House Church, he had a sermon and he talked about people who commit suicide, they're weak people, and she resented it. Then she said, one woman, where is she from? She told herself in front, just when the Russian came of the apartment building, so they wouldn't go in and rape the women. But she, like I said, she told me she was raped, her mom, her grandma, I don't know about her sister.
By the Russians?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess they really were something else. It was terrible. The bringing the people back and recovering from the war, recovering this whole thing, Germany has done phenomenal. John,
yes.
West Germany,
yes,
just
did.
Phenomenal in rebuilding. And I know the Marshall Plan helped a lot.
Well, oh my God, what would we have done without the United States? In fact, you know, when I went to back to Germany, and my husband went back home with me, all of a sudden people, you know, first after the war ended, the German people were, you know, crazy about America. Then all of a sudden they got back on their feet again. All of a sudden they're not more that friendly anymore. And I resented. But like you said, you know, Germany, they're hardworking people. And I read that too. It's a long, long time ago. They read, England won the war, but Germany is sending them gift packages.
Yes, that's what they say. You see, the United States won the war, but Japan and Germany are doing better than the United
right,
States.
Right, yeah. Well,
they
shouldn't
we took
buy
our
things.
Money.
But, yeah.
We
yeah.
took all those
yeah.
billions and billions and billions of
yeah.
dollars to rebuild. But I think we learned our lesson from World War I that we, you know, the Versailles Treaty was so horrible and such a terrible treaty at the end of World War I. And I think that's the reason that they, when this war was over, we did not want that to happen again.
Well, the biggest mistake I think the American did is when they let half the Russian, you know, half of Berlin, and they should have just left them there on the order and don't let them come into Berlin.
All right, as the war ended, the United States and Russia had competition for your scientists. Because of course Hitler was so far ahead in as far as missiles.
Yeah, the V bomb.
The V2, wasn't
V2,
it? The V2
yes,
bomb.
Yeah.
Okay, the V2 rocket. Okay, and of course we were lucky enough to get Werner von Braun, who I have met.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Yes.
And of course he didn't know me, but I just happened to be at a convention.
Yeah.
He was an Episcopalian.
Yeah.
And he was there giving a speech, and I thought that I had died and gone to heaven because I have tremendous respect. Well, do you recall any of that when the Russians were in there trying to kidnap and the United
no,
States
I
was
don't.
Trying to kidnap the
no,
scientists?
No,
and,
no, I don't.
You were unaware of it, or what do you think?
We didn't know nothing about it.
What did you know about your missile program? Did you know anything
well,
about
we,
that?
We knew.
Were you aware of it?
We were aware of it, and just now people talk. It's been a minute that they had the missiles there, all underground.
Yes.
And that is where they send them to England.
I will give you a little story here, and then you can rebut with it. In 1935,
yes.
A girl from Harding High School, was sent as a student over to Germany, and
yeah.
she happened to be the Cole of the Clyde Cole. She was married to Jack Cole.
Yeah.
And she wasn't then, though. And her parents were very close friends of mine,
yeah.
family. And when she came back, she said to my father, you should see the underground factories that I saw. And apparently when she was in Germany, she got to see these things. In 1935, she saw the planes being built. She actually, in 1935, saw these cement things that eventually became the U2 basses.
Yeah, that's the U2.
And she was telling us all about it, and a lot of people, I think, thought she was exaggerating. Because we were so deep in the Depression, we had no idea this was going on.
They were building, and that's what they used the young, they called it Albert's things, each young man before, you know, they built up the army. That was Arbeitsdienst. You didn't get paid for, and they built roads and they built shelters. And but I cannot see if this is true. Then I was 12 years old, and I had no knowledge.
She was 18.
Yeah.
Well, now, did they build the Autobahn during this time? Didn't they build the Autobahn?
Oh, yes.
From
Northern. Yeah, Club? All the Arbeitsdienst young men. You know, they built the Autobahn, and then they were, they called them, they had uniforms on too. But they were, I think they were the engineers or something.
Can you think of anything else? Because we're doing pretty good, I think.
Well,
I think that we can
my knowledge isn't that good anymore, Liz. I mean, my memory leaves me.
Oh, I think you've done a great job.
No.
Oh, yes. Because we're not going to touch the holidays because it's too sentimental, so we just won't.
No, we don't discuss
the holidays and stuff because that gets pretty tough, especially when you're away from home and when people are gone that were so involved. Do you remember any kind of a gift that you got when you were a little kid or something that you remember in particular?
No, they were always. Of course, we didn't buy gifts like you do here, you know. I got a baby buggy, and I got a doll, and I never played with them. Then I was more interested in sport, and I got a little sewing machine. And then we celebrated Christmas Eve. And then we had a Christmas tree with real candles on. And before we got our present, we had to say a little poem in front of the tree. And then we got our gifts.
Do you remember what did you have to eat? Anything that did
Goose.
Oh, you had the Christmas?
Christmas goose.
And so many of our traditions, you know, are European that we have here, you know.
I just saw in Saturday in a magazine, German Christmas goose, you know, and it is true.
Do you have that now? Do you keep that tradition in
no,
your family?
No, I tried it 1 year, and I love goose, and I love the grease. You know, when it is cold, I put it on dark white bread. I love it, yes. And then one day, I had the goose in the oven, and we got company unexpectedly. And it was longer than it's supposed to. And I opened the oven and I saw the goose and I thought she was ready to walk out, you know. And ever since I couldn't make a goose anymore.
Yeah. Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah.
Well, I think we did real well. If you come up with something else,
oh,
we can always turn it.